You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Just gone 7:49 Central African time, and that's another morning with John Abdullah, Councillor Ahmed Farak Ahmed Farak, a man of action, a man who really gets the things done. And there's no time where you find our Ahmed Farak just sitting around. He's always on phone calls, this happening, that happening, meetings, and so forth. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you doing to find a beautiful Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. Allahu wa barakatuh. Ala nasallam to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Sunday morning. Any sun shining, beautiful. Now we got shorter winter days. Beautiful days today, Shabbat. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I must tell you, Ahmed, I must thank you for the lovely nazams you sent me. I really enjoyed the last one, and you really, you know, make me think deeply. What's the latest on the Kafan Dafan side, Ahmed?
The father, alhamdulillah, everything is quiet at the moment. There's no major incident that has taken place or anything. Alhamdulillah, there's no major backlog at the mosques or anything like that. Alhamdulillah, we are under control. We are monitoring the mortuary very, very closely to see there's no excess of bodies, unclaimed bodies, so that because of this load sharing, it doesn't affect the decomposition of these bodies. So there is a system in place there that they are working over even weekend to move those bodies out as quick as possible and do the identification so that we'll be able to bury and then chasing Pretoria to get the DNA done quick as possible, because of this load sharing is going to cause a major havoc in most of the mortuaries. But alhamdulillah, we have got it under control so far.
Looking at the message, yes. So he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Farak, and brother Shafat Ahmed Khan, and JazakAllah khair for keeping us company on a Sunday morning. I want to know from Ahmed Farak, those body bags that they used to wrap all the marooned during COVID time, was that a farce or a fiasco? What a bad thing to do to a mayat or to a maroon by putting them in layers and layers of plastic. Why don't we get rid of those plastics once and for all? I hope they are not using it. How do you respond to Suhail there, Ahmed?
Shabbat, only that COVID time they used that because that, you know, it was a government legislation, therefore. But even when we buried the deceased, we opened the bag up. You know, the bag has what we call a body bag, has got a zip. It's about 1.5 or 1.8 centimeters in width in length. And then we open the body back out so before to allow for the body to be due for the decomposition. Because at that time it was an international law as well as the South African law that any bodies that because of bacteria, whatever, the picking up or anything like that, therefore they existed. It has to be a certain micron of the body bag has to be used and all that. So our hands were tied in that sense, but we, from the Sharia point of view, we made sure whoever the deceased was buried, the zips were opened up so there was air can. Because when you leave it into the body bag, then the decomposition problem, it will have a major effect for the decomposition. So therefore, we made sure all our burial society in the country, that whenever they were burying, they used to actually put it with the body bag, but the body bag was open, Shafan.
JazakAllah for that. Okay, this message, Assalamu alaikum. All of the desecration of graveyards are taking these tramps are speaking on top of grave tombstones and so forth. Why do they desecrate graves? I thought that non-Muslims were having their bodies cremated. What are these people doing desecrating tombstones and perhaps sometimes digging graves? What are they digging for? Please, Ahmed, you are a man of knowledge. Inform us. I'm very inquisitive this morning. How do you respond to Rafiq there?
Shabbat, some of in terms of Sharia, you know, you're not allowed to have tombstones or anything. You can have a nameplate to say that, you know, so-and-so deceased and all that. It's a very small block we normally put with the deceased name and the date and all that. Because, you know, you get visitors coming from various parts of the country in various cities they go to. They want to go and see, go make dua for their loved one. So, therefore, we put those small. But for the non-Muslim, for them, it's a business. They use massive, big tombstones and everything. So some of the community, even in the Christian religion, some of them still up to today, they bury it. Some of them also cremate. So that is the issue they have.
No, absolutely, Ahmad. When you look at all these different things, I mean, the simplicity of Islam and burial system. I mean, when you look at the uniformity of the IBC or how you have influenced other Muslim burial societies in the country, what type of thought goes through your mind? What type of satisfaction that gives you when you're in a position of leadership? You made a difference, Ahmad.
Shafat, I'll give you a very small scenario that we buried a very highly powered Muslim revert that has come into Islam, and his entire family were millionaires. And when we buried this person in Transkei, when he saw the way that how we do our burials and our funerals, how simple it is, not putting massive tents and don't have to buy two cows or one cow and you have to feed the whole village there or everything, how simple it is. That person who we buried there, the same day, the entire family accepted Islam by virtue of only seeing how we do our burial and how cheap it was to bury. In fact, at that time, in total, with the hearse, with the kafan and everything, with the grave and everything, it must be costing 3,000 rands. And it is about maybe 10, 12 years ago, I'm talking about. And it's 3 grand compared to what they pay for a grave. Like in some cases, they pay up to 10,000 rand for a grave. Then the coffin is about 25,000 rand. The tombstone is about another 6,000-7,000 rand. The whole funeral cost of over 100,000 rand. And here it is only for 3,000 rand, a complete, fully fledged mayat that we put his brother, we did the mayat of the brother, and the entire, the mother, two sisters, and two brothers that accepted Islam by just virtually of seeing how we do our mayats.
As you make a valid point indeed, what a powerful form of dawah with our burial system. Forget our dietary system and all that we have. It really brings the people out there. Irfan says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Farak. Sadly, it's been 10 years since I went last to the Kabristan. The last time I went, I was mugged and my car taken away. And now I got ghabrat. I don't go to Kabristan. I know it's a form of guna, but I can't help it. I'm traumatized. Is there security now at Kabristan? So maybe I can make a plan and go to the Kabristan. Ahmed, how do you respond to Irfan?
Irfan, depending on which cemetery is there, most of our cemeteries today, alhamdulillah, even if you go to, the heart of Oak Street, from the back entrance, there is proper security. When you're entering the gate, it's a municipal security. He takes your registration down, he takes your name down, and you fill in the register, and you go there, and you come out from the back entrance. All right, there is a little bit of congestion because of the road closures and all that in First Street. When you're coming into Theatre Lane, to the Brook Street Cemetery. But most cemeteries is relatively very, very, very quiet, and there's nothing happened in the last couple of years. Maybe occasionally you might get, you might have an incident, but it's not a major one that every week you're getting or every month, that nothing has come through to our knowledge or anything at this stage of us.
It's such a sad thing, there's a person goes to the Kabristan, he's in a solo mode, he's making dua, and all of a sudden they get accosted, and these people will come and do. But the harrowing experience, many years ago, a brother that I know very closely in my hometown, he was actually, hijacked, and he was driven away with his car from the Kabristan. But thank Allah, he was safe, Ahmed. What advice you'd give people when they go to the Kabristan now? What precautions they should take? Perhaps go with more people?
Shabbat, today, you're living in a very limited area, in most areas, is fully lettered and you've got proper security. When you drive into your driveway, before you could open your gate, they come and hijack you. Now, you know, it's a fully developed area. Now, Kakhestan, you go to, and most time, in fact, it is advisable that you go with two, three people, or even if you go on yourself, you must, timing is very, very important when you go to, and most of cases you do it in early in the morning, and you know, there is no issues or anything like that, because there is adequate security in most cemeteries now, because we know the plight that there is hijacking taking place. But hijacking is taking place everywhere, Shafak. You know, you can be in a busy road, they pull you off one side, and then when they show you the gun, they can hijack you. So the hijacking, you know, it's happening everywhere today. So there's no specifically only in the cemetery or anything like that. You know, and in the last 6 or 8 months, I haven't heard anything that so and so was hijacked from this cemetery or that cemetery. I haven't heard anything like that.
JazakAllah for that update there. And time for us to go to the news desk, and inshallah we will continue after that.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
I don't know, maybe if you could hear the news, but with me it was so muffled in my ear. I don't know what happened. There was a mix up with the signal feed there, that the Umar must have heard it clearly. Did you hear the news, and what caught your ear?
Shafak, I haven't heard it very, very clearly. So, you know, I think there might be some gremlin, some issues with the Aesop's side, or I'm not sure what it was. But so I haven't picked up all sorts of things. But and then it automatically just cut off completely. And now they have redialed me again now.
Okay, right. They're having some gremlin, as you said, coming through. Hey, you know, you're broadcasting very well as we go through you know, all these things that are happening in Ukraine. And the biggest issue here is that perhaps, you know, they're talking about so many things. And the audit call for the salary check on the counselors and what's happening. And many are of the opinion that here in Ukraine, that the rates factors that are collected, the money is actually used to pay the salaries of, you know, the workers there, instead of using it for service deliveries and so forth. And, you know, you've got EFF funding for an audit check. And perhaps your take on that, Ahmad?
Shafak, this audit, actually, we have started it in motion. What they picked up recently, there was two counselors that are no longer with the Ukrainian municipality, and they're in jail at the moment. And the salary is still getting paid to them. So we asked, and we went on Wednesday as well to the council, and we gave a memorandum to the speaker asking him, how did your HR fully knows that once a person leaves the council, his salary, everything has to be stopped? How is he still getting paid? And then now I see the new FF and everybody else is jumping on the bandwagon. They can see what actually they say is bringing up on the table. So they have now jumped their wonderful audit. And we have, you know, our memorandum, I've already asked for a full audit on. We want to know exactly how many councils are, we know how many councils are there. We will need to know how the salaries is being, there is any ghost or anything like that. That's what we're asking for, a full audit, so that we'll be able to let the public knows that there is no one else besides the two that is getting paid. And they, you know, for a year they're getting paid, which of us, and if you're getting an average of 40 grand a month, that's 400 a million rand is gone down the drain for people that are not in council. So, you know, how that is possible? This is the issue that we have picked up, Shafak.
Yeah, in other words, that you need others follow. And then when you look at the qualifications of the HR, I mean, I've been working there from 2013 or 2012, I don't know. But only now recently they said, oh, no, she's compromised, you know, she submitted all of fraudulent documents and so forth. But who does the vetting? Who does the checking? What type of people are being employed? And that's why you see that Ukraine has gone pear-shaped, because of these people that are working there. But generally, most of them are not qualified. I mean, they're just putting fraudulent documents all over. I mean, it's so sad, Ahmad. It's not only here in Ijikweni. I believe it's all over the country. Ahmad?
Shafat, the issue, you know, what happens in council and in government is job for parents. And what happens is you are like a MEC or you are a councillor, and if you're with the ruling party, they'll make sure they bring their own people in, whether you got qualification. There's no vetting system there. There's no due diligence or anything. And today you go to any, you go to any shop today, you want a certificate, you tell them exactly what you want, and they'll make it for you less than 5 minutes with the stamp and everything. You only pay 100 rand and you walk out of there, and they'll put it. Because of so many applications they get, so they don't do a proper vetting. And this is where we are falling apart in government, is because we're not getting the right people. We're getting any anga manga, anybody there, and they said, you know, he's got it there, fine. Because it's a connection call, and he's got the job. And that's where the problem is. Nobody can account for these people there. The HR system is all trash at the moment, and we haven't got the right people for the right job. They are just bringing their own connections there, and this is where we're falling apart there.
This question you said, Ahmad Aparak, is it true that we must all go solar because that the energy grid will collapse soon? I also know that many banks are giving out loans to put your solar panels and to put inverters and so forth in our homes. But then, Ahmad, we'll be subjugated to the banks once more. Why? What should we do? Shall we make summer and maybe with Action SA and with all those like-minded people like you, we will see a light at the end of the tunnel? How do you respond to that message, Ahmad?
Shabbat, firstly, there's a lot of international companies coming to invest here, especially from Germany, from the UK, from Italy, you know, who are working with mainly solar in their countries and all that. They are coming here at the moment, they are investing in our country to bring, to sell to the government from the solar farms and all that. So the system has already come into place at the moment. These people coming here. What we are waiting for is the 2021 election, when we want to separate the boys from the men, and then you'll see a huge change. For now, I think, you know, people, you know, solar is very, very expensive, and you know, in some cases, you don't have the space to put the solar system in, so you just need to just bite the bullet for another year, and once next year, inshallah, I'm saying that, you know, things are starting to happen now, and we especially Action SA, we are waiting to come into power to come and clean up. Our motive is to let's fix South Africa, and we're the only people that we can do that. Let's fix South Africa, because nobody else can do it, and they all say in 29 years, show me what they have done, and we are there to say that, you know what, we bring the right caliber of people, the right engineers, the right people, and to clean up from one side, and we'll get it right. Eventually things will come right here, but it's going to be a big mission, because now you're going to be working with coalition governments and all that, but we will get it right. That is important, because everybody will have to, in coalition, you have to listen. You can't go and do your own thing. At the moment, the ANC and the ruling party is doing this own thing, and you can be the best opposition in the country. You can fight and fight. They still make the decision, because they're going to bring the other splinter parties with them there, and vote for everything what they want. So that's what's going to be stopped from 2024 election.
Now, looking at this message here from Tahir, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad, always you are in my duas, and also Brother Shafa'at and Marcus Sahaba. Ahmad, have you noticed that one Al Jama'ah mayor said he wants to fix the potholes? Well, you know what happened. Now the second Al Jama'ah mayor says we have to provide services worth paying for. I want to say, why is Al Jama'ah making fools of themselves? Why are they making the name so bad by accepting to be rubber stamps for the other big parties? Ahmad, I think you alluded to the fact. How do you read the situation that Al Jama'ah having two mayors within a space of 2-3 months, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, Al Jama, I don't know how they're running the party there, because they're making a huge mistake by siding with the opposition, the ruling party. We had a pact. We're supposed to have got the right person who will be able to do a complete turnaround for the county in Gauteng. But they did it such a way. The ruling party brought, they want their own cronies. They maybe went and did a deal with Al Jama, and Al Jama fell for the trap. The first time they fell for the trap, the guy couldn't take the heat. He had to step down. This guy, it's just a window dressing. This is buying time. This guy is not going to be lasting there. The new mayor is not going to last the pace, because the whole of Gauteng is in a massive shambles. They need service delivery. You need people who knows how to give service delivery, how to put things together, what is needed, where do you get the funding from, how do you get the funding, and put it together and start giving service delivery. That's the only way. They just put this day for window dressing, and the Al Jama are falling for the trap. And this is what happened there.
Well, I'm looking at a message here, and it says, Brother Shafaz, the things are really happening in this country. I don't know if Malema is a genius or what he is, but Malema says he wants Jacob Zuma to join the EFF. He says that EFF is Zuma's home. And I think if Jacob Zuma had joined the EFF, the whole of KZN would become EFF territory. How do you respond to that message there, Ahmad?
You know that Malema is an actor. So far, he's the first one in every parliament meetings when they had in parliament. These are the same people with Hoitoi. They want bring the money back. Bring the money back for the Inkandla. Now all of a sudden, why is he going and talking to Zuma when he's the first one that he wanted Zuma out? Now he's making chummies with Zuma because he cannot get anywhere. They're losing. If you see from the last election, and you'll see wherever any by-election, see what is happening to them. They're not getting support anymore. So that is where the problem is. Now they're trying to bring in Zuma to EFF. And I don't think Zuma want to go to EFF, because I'm not sure. But, you know, in politics, anything can happen. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. But this is reality. This is a dog-eat-dog-eat this game, yes, Shafan.
Yeah, my dear Jazakallah for that. Looking at this message, there are a lot of messages coming through this line, and this is from Nasrullah. He says, "Assalamu alaikum. There is a municipal demarcation board which is studying proposals that would shift two economic lifelines to neighboring places. I heard that inside this there is a tug of war over King Shaka Airport. I don't know what it all about, Ahmad, but I've got a lot of bucks to invest. Tell me, what's it happening regarding the tug of war of King Shaka Airport and the municipal demarcation bond studying proposals to shift to neighboring areas? What's this all about, Ahmad?"
Shafat, they were talking about demarcation from Itigwini municipality to Stanger, that we call the Guza municipality, to bring that section into the demarcation. But I don't think it's going to happen, because we're not going to allow that anyway, because part of Itigwini is the King Shaka Airport. Is not going to happen. So the brothers that is thinking that is going to happen is not going to happen. It has to come before the full council. We have to vote for that. So this is a long, long thing, because maybe next year or the following year it will come before the full council meeting. But they talk about it, and you know they always put the cat between the pigeons just to hype things up and all that stuff.
You know, you make a good point there, Alhamdulillah, as you said, there are people, you know, investors, I mean, you talk about our brothers, and mashallah, you know, Allah has given them a lot of barakah and all that. How many come up to you, Ahmed, and say, you know, Ahmed, I'm an investor? What type of advice do you give them, Ahmed?
Shabbat, whichever investor is coming, I told them to just hang in, they wait till the 2024 election, because that will give you a true indication who are the people that is coming, how this country is going to be run. A complete new dimension of this whole country will take place, because the ruling party, in fact, if you read yesterday, Saturday in November, Ramaphosa is talking about how we will have to work with the coalition. So they know for the fact, by the virtue of him saying that how he wants to work with the coalition, they know they have already lost. So they're losing ground, and this is where the biggest problem is. They don't know where to turn, and they are now looking for parties where they can bring them on board, where they spoke to EFF Malema now to come on board with the ANC, and this is what's going to happen. So these guys cannot be trusted. So let's wait for any investor in the country who want to invest in this country. Yes, when the chips are down, this is an opportunity to invest, because you later you get better return on your funding. But I rather say to anyone who want to invest in the country, you rather wait and see the outcome of the 2024 election. You'll find that there's a new dimension, new way of running this country. And then there's a lot of investors internationally who want to come and invest here, because we have got everything. You name it, we've got it.
Yeah, Ahmed, this question here says, please, Ahmed Tarak, I want to know why coalition politics have failed at your municipal levels, and why in one town like Zululand, where Zulus themselves don't see eye to eye, what is going on? Why are these people so disunited? We thought it was the Xhosa, the Zulu, the Soto, or the Ndebele, that they didn't like each other. But it seems Zulu on Zulu violence, and this is not good for KZN and so forth. Please, Ahmed, give us some sukoon in your advice.
Shishabad, you know, I was in the last month, when about 6 weeks ago, we were in the heart of Nongoma. We have seen it there. But, you know, the people in that Zulu people there in Nongoma are not very respectable, and everything else you find there. But there's a friction between themselves too. You know, they can't see one must be better than the others. So there's not a major, massive infighting between the Zulus or anything like that. Yes, the major problem they have is with the Xhosa and the Zulu. That is going to be forever is going to stay there. This is because of the status and all that. But in this kind, especially KZN, you're not going to find any major issues or anything. But the time bomb that we are sitting on is that, you know, because of the unemployment has gone now to about 54 to 55% when the people are unemployed. Now that is a major concern for everyone, because, you know, people cannot stay hungry for forever, and there's no, with the load sharing, people are not opening businesses. People who have got major businesses are leaving our cities and going to maybe Swaziland, Botswana, or other neighboring countries where they can get put out of those countries and bring it back. It might work out cheaper than working the less hours in this country. So this is a problem that we are facing. So unemployment is going to maybe spiral for another 5% or something. So that is a major problem. And then the other major issue you must understand is when the youth, you know, you've seen it in overseas, like when they have the youth uprising, and if it comes here, then we'll have a major problem, Shaman.
Yeah, I'm looking at a message here from Ashraf. Ashraf says, Assalamu alaikum. Chef, you and Ahmed, they talk a lot about the quarter settlement there in Sepingo Beach, South Coast. But what about checking Reservoir Hills out? It seems that we are the forgotten people. When we drive into our town or drive into our Reservoir Hills, we are confronted. This is a sight not to behold. At least you guys don't see your squatter cam all the time when you drive in or drive out. Please, Ahmed Tarak, come and address our issues. It seems like our councillors here are good for nothing. How do you respond to Ashraf there?
Ashraf got a very, very valid question. In the last 2 weeks, we the national government have taken away 122 million of the money that was allocated to the Itikwini municipality, and part was granting aid, and the other part came from national government. It came into our coffers here at the Itigwini municipality. The ruling party, the ANC, did nothing about this, where they're supposed to put low-cost housing for mainly for Reservoir Hills, Dakota, in Overport, all the John Dolls, what we call the John Dolls, or the low-cost informal settlement, was supposed to be replaced with proper housing in other areas where they were supposed to move them out, because they haven't done anything in the last couple of months. That money was returned back to national government, and previously we lost that type of money again. In the last 6 months, we lost about $500,000 that was here for South Africa, for our KZN, that our government, our city did nothing about it. Fought with them, we did everything, and that money was returned. They're just putting the, you know, they're sitting back and expect things to happen, and yet the people out there are suffering so much.
Look, in this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tariq. Is it true that a well-branded supermarket, the load shedding bill, shoots past 500 million rands? But these were the same supermarkets that were given exemption or blanket exemption during COVID to stay open. And these same supermarkets that are capturing the SASA grant and the paying of bills, it seems that these supermarkets, which are Zionist entities, have captured the ANC and our government. You talk about Guptas. Let's interrogate the Zionist capture of this government of the ANC. That's a very good point. I had to work on.
Shamat, you know, the COVID time, they were given exemption to keep the supermarket because it was food. Now, because of the load shedding, they take a massive, massive pounding. Most of the supermarkets in the country are taking a massive, and the perishables, they're losing by the millions. And then there's nothing. They need to now. They had the good time. They made millions of rands in profits, and millions of rands in profit over the years. So they now have to reinvest in the country, and they're supposed to be speaking to the government and say, you know what, let's come to the party. Let's see what we can do for South Africa. These guys are only for themselves, Shepard.
True that, Amanda. This one, I don't know whether you read it or not, but it says, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. The Reserve Bank is launching new banknotes and coins for South Africa. I have lots of old notes in my under my mattress. What shall I do, Ahmed? Ahmed, how you respond to that, brother?
It's a very. Firstly, he shouldn't be keeping any money under his mattress. Number one. Number two is, if he's got his old rand and coins and everything, there is a way that you have to take it then, to Reserve Bank, and they will change it, because it's longer than South African currency. But unless if there was a prescribed period, in some of those old notes, there was a prescribed period that they will not take it anymore. So then you might have a problem.
I remember what Narendra Modi did. He put a lot of people out of business. He said, black money, and he took it away out of the equation. And perhaps our mother, you should tell me, brother, man, what do you do with all the notes? Invest in gold and silver, huh?
You know, today, you know, I think you're better off in keeping them into safe havens in the banks and everything else than investing in gold. Yes, is going to be a big plus factor, especially gold and silver, because the BRICS is also thinking on those lines there. And if that happens, the dollar is going to be devalued in the next couple of months. In fact, once the BRICS take place here in this country and the decision is made, then there's going to be a complete new currency coming in the market as well.
Well, Ahmed, I knew one brother. He said, look at the dollar. I said, oh, this is a stain dollar. This is a precious dollar. This is a new dollar. I mean, the guys, they lived off the dollar, but the dollar was king for them. But they knew, just by feeling the dollar, that this was a new dollar, an old dollar, and the color, and look at the watermarks and all that. I don't know. I knew many like that. How many you knew, Ahmed?
I know a lot of them who deal in dollars and all. They knew exactly how to work with that currency. They know exactly which one they must take, which dollar match they mustn't take, because they've been working over it over the years, and so they knew exactly which one is the new batch and everything. They work with it on a day-to-day basis, so they knew exactly. And some of them will bring the old dollar to just say, no, I don't want this old dollar, $100 bill.
Ahmad, I have a question for you. They didn't make any concessions for us on Eid Day, the ANC government, but on Freedom Day they had lights for the whole country. You could see how selective the government is. Are they marginalizing the Muslims also? And they don't care for us, although we play such an important role in the country. Your response to that, Ahmad?
Shabbat, in fact, we have also taken this matter up very, very seriously, because we said that it was one of our holy days, the Eid Day, after our fasting of 30 days. We need the concession. The reply did not come. So we are following it up now to find out why we haven't received a reply regarding that. But when it came to our municipality, when we needed the ground for our, especially for our Eid guys, you know, all that was given to us and everything else. So, you know, there's two sides to the coin here. First, we needed that concession, especially for the load sharing side of it. But on the flip side of it, when it comes to our Eid and Bakrid and whenever we needed the council for our festive days, they made sure that they allowed us, especially the parking we managed to get. We get the ground we managed to get for even for the Eastern Market. Now they allowed us all those soccer fields in Stormyard Road ground and all. So when it comes to that, the city and the country, not only our municipality, all the municipalities in the country would look at our religion very, very seriously, and they're always allowing us to the usage of this soccer field and sports facilities.
Kareem Ahmad, great chat with you as usual on your segment. Straight talk with Ahmad Farhat. Your parting words this morning?
Jabbar, you know, people are very, very despondent at the moment with the service delivery. I understand that we are taking it very, very seriously with the council. There's only one thing that we can do. I insist with our community. We must keep writing to the speaker, to the city manager, and say that we demand this year, we demand that. Keep doing that. That makes our life easy, because when we're fighting, we know we got so much of backup from the community regarding the issues that they are facing with.
Let me read this one here. It's from Haji Bhai. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. I'm already in pension age, and I haven't been collecting pension for the past 5 years. My children from Australia say, Papa, go and collect your pension. Ahmad Bhai, can you help me? I can't make anything. All my children leave me, and they've gone overseas. Ahmad, how do you respond to our brother there?
So, Shabbat, that Ali Bhai needs assistance, you can give him my number, he can contact me. I've got an in-house guy who will be able to help him to do his application, and he will be able to get his grant. In fact, it's about almost 1,900 rand a month. Why let it go? In case if his children don't send his money in time, at least he's got 1,900 rand. He must apply for it, because he's entitled for that amount.
You're so kind, Ahmad. So what you do, our Ali Bhai won't have to go to the stand in the queue. Do you make it happen like that, Ahmad?
No. What we have to do, we do an application and we'll send it through, and maybe we can help him online to get that his pension application sent through by online instead of going and standing in the queues. Mm-hmm.
Bless you, Ahmad. Bless you. You know, you always give a positive vibe on your segment. And your parting words this morning?
Shabbat, we must make dua that, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, here in this province and in the country, with all said and done, with all the issues that we face with, when it comes to right of religion, right of culture, we are kids, we got it. And you saw what we have, Istima, we have our Eid, we have everything. We are blessed us with this country, especially, Shabbat. We must make dua that, you know, going forward from here with the new elections coming through next year, the 2024 election, we get the right type of people in from the Muslim community and from wherever they are. We need liberal people who will be able to do a turnaround in this country to make it better for the people of this country.
Absolutely, Ahmad. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. Inshallah, we talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's time for us to go for our break. When we get back, inshallah, it'll be time to join a member of parliament, Ahmad Mahdi Sheikh Ilham Aziz, the segment. Parliament tune.